Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining our broadcast here from Refrain Baptist Church. And as ever, we do look to the Lord to bless our coming together this morning. We're coming this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, we're going to read from verse number 1. Again, thank you for joining with us. Do you remember Graveland Church this afternoon at 3:30 p.m.? Paul Silcock will be along to sing, and I'll be preaching the Gospel this afternoon. And then again tonight at 8 p.m. our young people will meet for a Zoom meeting. So do keep all of these meetings in mind, and of course they're all subject to the will of the Lord. Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and we'll read from verse number 1, please. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And we do trust the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, and inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts again this morning. As a result of the pandemic, as a result of this virus, we have many new phrases that have become very common. Phrases like how to flatten the curve, the second wave, something that people fear. The R number, which we've mentioned in the past. Another phrase that has come to the fore in recent days is the social bubble. The social bubble. Over the pandemic, one of the ways they've tried to keep everyone safe is reduce that social contact. In other words, stay home and stay safe and don't get in touch with anyone else. Now we have a 2 meter distance that we must keep from other people. Howbeit, not only has this proven to be effective, but also to realise the mental and the social damage this could possibly do at long term. And so some companies have brought in what's known as these social bubbles. In other words, you can have some contact with people within your social bubble. Those who are very close to you, depending on the country and depending on the situation, now these social bubbles can just be one contact or perhaps more, as again, depending on the circumstances. I've often wondered if you nominate someone to be in your social bubble and they don't nominate you, it must be very embarrassing indeed. But I want to, of course, look at something spiritual this morning. And I'm asking a question. Would the Lord Jesus Christ be in your social bubble? Now, I know that Christ should be number one. I know that Christ should be above everything else in our lives. We should seek first the kingdom of God. So I do ask the question reverently, but I hope you understand what I mean this morning. Is the Lord Jesus Christ one of your close friends? He should be the closest friend, but is he really in your social bubble, or has he been excluded? You see, I think for some of God's people, before lockdown, they could take or leave church. They would meet with the Lord when it suited them. If it didn't suit, well, that didn't really matter to them. When it came to prayer, perhaps even the prayer meeting, maybe occasionally they'd be at the prayer meeting. Occasionally they may spend time in prayer. When it comes to the Word of God, had they really that deep interest in hearing what the Lord has to say? And of course, we can ask the question, when it came to serving him, they were often absent. When it came to sharing him, well, very often they were silent. But if the Lord Jesus Christ really means everything to you, then we should be willing to sing for him. We should be willing to stand with him. We should be willing to sacrifice for him. We should want to sit with him, just like Mary when she sat at the feet of the Savior. We would want to shine for him. We would want to soldier for him. And of course, we would want to speak to him in prayer. And so we ask the question again, what is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ like this morning? Is the Lord Jesus Christ really in your social bubble? I believe this pandemic has given us all time to review your standing with the Lord. And I'm going to look at 3 situations. All involve the Lord, all involve doors, and all involve responses when the Lord was at the particular door. I'm going to look first of all at the matter of salvation. Then I'm going to look at the matter of the congregation. And then I want to look at the matter of devotion. And so quite a bit of ground to cover this morning. But I believe the Lord has something to say to you this morning. First of all, we want to think of the matter of salvation. When I introduced the reading, Luke's Gospel chapter 2, and began to read, I'm sure you thought to yourself, have I lost all sense of time? Surely we haven't been chopped down this long that we've reached Christmas and we weren't aware of it. I understand this is a passage that we usually read around Christmas time. But I want to speak first of all this morning to those who are listening at home and you don't know Christ as your Saviour. I believe this pandemic, this virus has caused a lot of people to think about the Lord. Maybe you've been at the drive-in church. Maybe the Lord has been knocking at your heart's door. You see, you know this story well. You know the story of the inn and the innkeeper and how the Lord Jesus was at the door, albeit in the womb of Mary, and how they were obviously looking for room, but it says in verse number 7 that there was no room for them in the inn. And history will record that there was no room for the Lord Jesus Christ in this particular inn. No doubt the innkeeper, whoever he was, he heard the knock. There was a knock at the door and he heard the knock. And when he opened the door, there was Mary and Joseph and Mary had within her the Lord Jesus Christ and they were looking for somewhere to come in. And he heard the knock, he came to the door, he could see the situation, but he said there's no room. I wonder during this pandemic, have you heard the Lord knocking? Has the Lord been knocking at your heart's door? Have you come to the very door? And unknown to all us, people who were passing by that night in Bethlehem would have had no idea what was taking place at this innkeeper's door. And maybe even people in your own home have no idea what you've been going through. And no idea that the Lord has been knocking at your heart's door. But yet he has been knocking. And you have heard the knock and you know that the Lord has been speaking. And you're faced with a decision this morning. Will you bring Jesus Christ into your life? Will you accept him as your own and personal Saviour? As I said, when the history of Bethlehem was written, no room for him was the headline. When your history is written, will it say on your headstone, no room for Jesus? Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for Jesus, King of glory? Hasten now this word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open. Bid him enter while you may. When it comes to the matter of salvation, when you realize that Jesus Christ went to Calvary for you, died for you, rose again triumphant, he wants to be your Savior, and he's knocking at the door, and perhaps he's been knocking louder during this time, and you've really heard the Lord speak to your heart, but still you're not saved. And Jesus Christ is not in your social bubble. Will you make him your Saviour this morning? Yes, we can see in the matter of salvation. Secondly, I want to think about in the matter of the congregation. Turn over to Revelation chapter 3. I want to pray a visit to a church in the book of the Revelation. This is the church at Laodicea. And I'm not going to expand this. There's a passage I want to get to later on. But I want to pick out a few things here about this particular church. Yes, we can look to the unsaved and we can ask the question, is the Lord Jesus Christ in your social bubble? Are you saved? Is he knocking at your door? But let's come to the church. Surely a church couldn't have the Lord Jesus outside. Well, let's come to see what we have in Laodicea. Look at Revelation 3 verse 14. Revelation 3 verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And the Lord Jesus is the speaker here. I know thy works, that thou art neither hot nor cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. Here's the Lord Jesus and he knows everything. And he says, I know thy works. And if you know this story of the seven churches, here is a church that gets no commendation at all. The Lord has nothing good to say about this church. He says you're neither cold nor hot. I know thy works, verse 15, you're neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If he knew something of the area, there was an aqueduct that brought cold water about 6 miles away. And by the time it travelled through this aqueduct, the sun was beating upon it. It would gather up dust and gather up dirt. And by the time it reached Laodicea, it was tepid and filthy. And if you took a drink of it, you would probably spew it out. The Lord Jesus says, that's what your church is like. You think you're a streaming flow of fresh water that's refreshing so many people. To be honest with you, the Lord says, when I take a sip of you, you make me sick. That's how bad this church was. Now, the church wasn't expecting this. Look at verse 17. Because thou sayest, you know, if they had known the Lord was going to talk about them, they would have expected a great show. They would have expected a great report, a blessed report from the Lord. And as we say in Northern Ireland, they were in for a real gunk. The Lord says, you make me sick. During this pandemic, the zeal of some churches has been evident. There's been that desire to get the word out by hook or by crook and to reach the lost and to encourage them, to build up the people of God. But some other churches have been found wanting. It seems they were quite happy to be locked down. They were quite happy to have the doors shut. And it seemed there was no energy, no zeal, no interest in doing anything with the people of God, for the people of God, or even to reach the lost in the area. Maybe Laodicea would have been like that. You see, look what they say in verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. They trusted in their assets. They were increased with goods. They seemed to be a church that had money in the bank. There was spiritual pride here. There was self-sufficiency here. There was arrogance here. Let me say this. Here was a church that rested on its laurels. It took its people for granted. It took its purpose for granted. It took everything for granted. And they felt, we've got it all. But the Lord had a different message for them. Look at verse 17 again. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have needed nothing. They thought they needed nothing. They didn't realize they were worth nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, and blind and naked. I'm going to pick out a few thoughts here. See the word miserable? It's used in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. It's used of the fact. Say that Jesus Christ hadn't risen from the dead. Here's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. That's the same word. Can I apply it like this? It's a church that lacked resurrection power. There's no power in this church. They had plenty of pounds. They had plenty of activity. And they were resting on their laurels. And they had no resurrection power. You see something else it says. Not only were they miserable and poor, they were blind. You know, there was no vision in this church. Here's a church that rested on its laurels. Here's a church that had no resurrection power. Here's a church that had no vision. Saddest of all, they thought they were number one in the hit parade. The Lord says, you think you have need of nothing. In reality, you have nothing. And I'm just picking a few things out. Look at verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold. You know what gold speaks of in Scripture? Well, it speaks of a number of things, but the psalmist says, speaking of the word of God, more to be desired are they than gold. And I'm just picking a few things out. I'm applying them. I hope you let me do this on the Lord's Day morning. You see, here's a church that rested on its laurels. Here's a church that had no power. Here's a church that had no vision. Here's a church that made little or made nothing of the word of God. Everything else seemed to be more important than the word of God. You know, the Lord had a word for them. Look at the end of verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The Lord has one word for this church, repent. Resting on its laurels, what a great history. It had no power. It was depending on self and their money and their finances. They had no vision. No desire to see God's people grow. No desire to see the gospel spread out. They had abandoned or minimized the need for the word of God. And the Lord says, repent. Look what it says in verse 20, Revelation chapter 3. Behold, I stand at the door now. Here's the Lord Jesus speaking, and he's at a church. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. The Lord's standing outside this church door. He's knocking on the church door and he says, let me in. They had rested on their laurels. They had no power. They had no vision. They had abandoned the word of God. And the Lord wasn't in their bubble. In fact, Christ has just burst their bubble. They're realizing they have absolutely nothing. See the word sup? The Lord says, I will come in and will sup with him. That's the supper time. It's the final meal of the day. It's as if the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm coming and I'm coming very soon. You'll soon have your final meal. Let me in. Now let me ask you this morning, and the Lord challenged this church to repent. Are you stuck in a lukewarm church? Are you tied to a church that has no vision, no power, that's resting on its laurels, that have abandoned or minimized the word of God? Is that where you are this morning? Is the Lord saying to you, if they don't repent, you need to repent and you need to get out of it? Because the Lord's not in their bubble. Indeed, as I said, the Lord has just burst their bubble. See what I'm saying this morning? See, when it comes to salvation, is the Lord Jesus knocking at your heart? See, when it comes to a congregation, and God forbid that Refining Baptist would ever have the Lord Jesus Christ shut out. God forbid we would ever rest in our laurels. We would have no vision. And God forbid that any of God's people in Refining would be happy to be shut down and locked down. You see salvation, you see the congregation. Let's come to the matter of devotion. We want to make it more personal here this morning. Come over to Song of Solomon chapter 5, please. This is an amazing chapter. Song of Solomon chapter 5. I'm not going to touch on it this morning, but it's in this chapter we discover he is altogether lovely. What a beautiful, beautiful ending comes to this chapter. But I want to challenge you about your personal devotion this morning. Yes, we can talk about the lost and we can talk about the church. What about you, brother or sister at home this morning? Young person. Is Jesus Christ in your social bubble? Look at Song of Solomon chapter 5. I want you to see the believer in this story. I want you to see Christ in this story. I want you to find yourself in this story this morning. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you during this lockdown period, during this time of isolation. Has the Lord Jesus Christ been excluded from your social bubble? Can you hear him knocking at your heart's door? Let's follow this story through. I want you to see the spouse that's drowsy here. And here this woman in verse 2 is a picture of a believer. Look at verse 2. I sleep, she said, but my heart waketh. It's the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled. For my head is filled with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. She's sleeping, her heart's waking, she's not totally out of it, but she's weary and she's drowsy and she's asleep. Are you asleep this morning? Look at verse 3. I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? It was complacency. It was preoccupation. You see, here's someone knocking at the door and she says, listen, go away. I'm in bed. I'm tired. I've washed my feet. There's so much going on in my life. I have no time to open the door. I have no time to let you in. It's like a Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. I'm too busy to get to the prayer meeting. I've washed my feet. I've taken off my coat. Give me a break, Lord. Even on the Lord's day. If this church never opened, maybe that's okay with you. I'll tell you, it's not okay with me. In your quiet time, in your prayer time, Lord, I haven't got time. Just give me a moment, Lord. I'm asleep. I've taken off my coat. I've taken off my shoes. Don't disturb me, Lord. You see, when it came to the vision for the lost with this woman, she is unconcerned. She says, I'm asleep. When it came to intercession for others, it didn't matter. She was asleep. She was uncommitted. When it came to contribution to the work, well, she's asleep, count me out, she's uninvolved. When it came to dedication to the Lord, she says, I'm sleeping, count me out, she's uninterested, she's unconcerned, she's uncommitted, she's uninvolved, she's uninterested. Tell me, is that you this morning? Has the Lord been knocking at your heart? Is the Lord going to get into your social bubble and hear he's met with ingratitude and indifference? And she's slouching about. Just leave me alone. You see the spouse distressing. Then you see the Savior's desire. And I want you to see the one that's knocking as a picture of the Savior. Look at verse 2 again. I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. Look at his knocking. It's the voice of my beloved. She knows that he's speaking to her. Do you know the Lord's knocking at your heart? You see, he never slumbers and he never sleeps. And even though you've cold-shouldered him, he's still knocking. He says, open to me. Does the Lord want to be in your social bubble this morning? Do you see him knocking? Do you see him calling? Open to me, my sister, verse 2. My sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, my sister, you're part of the family, my love. Look what I have done for you, my dove. I want to protect you, undefiled. Look what I have made you. And yet you've shut the door in his face. And Christ hasn't been in your social bubble, but here's where he wants to be this morning. Here he is standing as an outcast at your door, your heart's door. You see the Savior's desire. You see him knocking. You see him calling. Look at his longing. Look at the end of verse 2. My head is filled with dew. Why is that? My locks with the drops of the night. You see, he's been standing for ages. He's been standing all night. How long have you kept the Lord outside? How long have you kept him at a distance in your life? How long has it been from he's been the center of your life? How long has it been from Jesus Christ truly has been Lord of your life? Are you cold this morning? He's been standing all night. He wants to come in. He wants to be in your social bubble. See the Savior's desire. He's knocking. He's calling. The longing. Look at the penetrating. Verse 4. And here she speaks, my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door and my bowels were moved. The Middle East, the door, you could put your hand through the door and open from the inside. And here his hand has come in and she can see his hand. You can see him holding on to the inside of the door. And as she sees it, she says, my bowels were moved. And as she sees the hand of her lover coming through the door, her heart is touched. Tell me, has the Lord touched your heart yet? Has the Lord got through to you yet? Are you happy just to be lazy, complacent, and useless? And the Lord, you can see the hand. You know, there was something special with his hand. In chapter 2, verse 6, he said, his left hand is under my head. His right hand doth embraced me. The hands that upheld her and protected her, the hands that kept her safe were there, and she could see the hand of the one who loved her. Tell me, like old Thomas, do you need to see the print and the nails, the nail print in the hands this morning? The hands that were nailed to that center cross as he died for you and died for me. Oh, will it not move your heart this morning? Would you stop playing at this? This is real. Are you going to get serious about your walk with the Lord? Are you going to take Christ seriously? Is he going to be part of your life? Has he touched your heart? You see the knocking and the calling and the longing and the penetrating. Look at the loving, verse 5. I rose up to open to my beloved. My hands dropped with myrrh. My fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Harry Ironside said when a lover would come to a home, he would put his hand through and he would have a sweet perfume on his hand and he would leave tokens of his love that if she hadn't been in, she would see that her lover had been there. Tokens of his love were everywhere. And she could see here was one who really loved her. And he's knocking at the door. And he's standing and she says, I'm too tired. I'm too lazy. I've taken off my coat. I've put off my shoes. I'm in for the night. Just leave me alone. Don't you feel like shouting, you stupid woman? Have a heart. Maybe it's you or me this morning. And Christ has been excluded from our social bubble. You see the spouse that's drowsy. You see the Savior's desire. And then you see the sad departure. Look at verse 6. She gets up and she opens the door. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed. When he spake, I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. You see, his presence is gone. She's decided at last to get up out of bed, to get the coat on, to meet him, to embrace him. She opens the door and he's gone. Look at the prayer in verse number 6. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when I spake, I sought him. You see, she's calling out to him now. I called him, but he gave me no answer. You see the presence, you see his prayer, you see the pounding here. Look at verse 7. She heads out, the watchmen that walked about the city found me, they smote me and they wounded me. Let me apply this in a special way. You know, watchmen in scripture sometimes are applied to the preachers who have a responsibility to preach the word of God. I wonder, dear sister, dear brother, have you taken a pounding by the word of God? You've been lying there, I've taken off my coat, I've put up my feet, I can't be bothered, Lord. And the Spirit of God has given you a pound. I tell you, it's painful when God speaks to you. It's painful when God challenges you. Have you been drifting away? Have you been hammered by the Word of God? The Lord wants to draw you back to the first love. You see the spouse who's drowsy. You see the Savior's desire. You see the sad departure. Here are the steps that are delightful. Look at verse 8. She speaks to the daughters of Jerusalem. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, tell him I'm sick of love. What she really means is I'm sick with love. She loves him so much. But she lay on and missed him. And now she's sick of love. And she says, daughter of Jerusalem, when you find him, tell him I love him. Can I apply this in a wonderful way this morning? I know I'm taking it out of context, but you know in Luke chapter 23, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to Calvary, this is what he said, daughters of Jerusalem. Do you see where they were? Luke 23 verse 28, they were at Calvary. Do you know where you need to go this morning in order to get the Lord Jesus Christ right into your social bubble? You need to go back to Calvary. Look at Song of Solomon 5, verse 3 again. Notice what she says to her lover. She says, I have put off my coat. Can you imagine saying that to the Lord when they stripped him naked and they gambled for his garments? She says, I have washed my feet. Do you remember what they did with the feet of the blessed Savior? They stretched out this Lord upon a cross, and they took those Roman nails, and they nailed his feet to the cross. And because you've taken off your coat, because you've washed your feet, you're saying to the Lord, it's not convenient for me to meet with you. Aren't you glad the Lord didn't say that when they come to arrest him? It's not a convenient time. When they stripped him, when they nailed him to a cross, aren't you glad that he finished the work? Get to Calvary this morning. Oh, gather around the cross this morning. Have a glimpse of Christ. See him afresh. And listen, you'll be sick with love. You'll embrace Christ afresh. And you'll want him to be in your social bubble. Is Jesus Christ in your social bubble this morning? We've looked at it when it comes to salvation. Are you saved? We've looked at it when it comes to the congregation. God forbid that we'd ever shut the Lord out. We've looked at it when it comes to devotion. You know the little hymn we sing sometimes? Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, this my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, Lord, let it be. Oh, dear believer this morning. As we come to hopefully the end of this lockdown, we have spent
90 days to this very day in lockdown. Over 90 days from we've met as a fellowship. I wonder how long has it been from you really embraced Christ and enjoyed that sweet fellowship with them? Have you shut him out of your social bubble? Will you pray for that closer walk this morning, that Christ may indeed sit on the throne of your life and on the throne of my life? Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for a Saviour who desires fellowship with us, for one who wants to be at the centre of our lives. Though, Heavenly Father, God forbid that anyone listening would shut their ears to the knocking of the Saviour. Lord, as those who are not saved, Lord, may they swing their heart's door widely open and bid Christ enter while he may. As a church, Lord, never let us be complacent. Lord, never let us rest on our laurels. Help us, Lord, never to lose the vision, because where there is no vision, the people perish. And God forbid we'd ever have Christ locked out of our meeting. But Lord, as we think of it personally, oh Lord, maybe the Lord has been standing outside for years. And some have heard the knocking louder than ever during this pandemic period. Lord, will they open their heart to Christ and have that renewed and blessed fellowship again? For we ask it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen. Amen.